Get him now, get him now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes, here's your shoes, hear the words I said. Get him now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow one day to be big and tall. Remember the orthodontist will be seeing you in 3 to 2 days. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel too slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ear? Play outside, don't play rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, we don't have all day. Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Could you even hear a word I say? But right now, I thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, would appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight to eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, or I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD. Get a dose of I. Don't care who started it, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. Your friends jumped off a cliff. Would you jump too if I said it once? I've said it at least 1,000 times before that. You're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking. Stand up straighter when you walk. Face for everything, and everything must be a play. Stop crying, or I'll give you something real to cry about. Say a prayer with mom. Don't forget. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because the laws will never end. You don't need the reason why. Because.
I said so.
That's a dose of real life momhood right there, right? Isn't that good? We were going to try to pull it off as a worship team, but we thought, you know, it might just be a little too much for us. I'm glad they had that PowerPoint at least so we could follow along. It's that fast, but what a great song. Well, Mother's Day is one of the most special days of all the year. We're told that there are more telephone calls made on Mother's Day than any other time of the year. That's right. So if you haven't called your mom yet, this is a reminder for you to do so, okay? At a memorial service, or now you may not know the name Anna Jarvis, but she was the first one to suggest having a national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because she loved her mother so much. And at a memorial service for her mother on May 10th, 1908, she gave a carnation, which was her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Well, the idea of honoring mothers soon caught on, and on May 9th, 1914, as an act of U.S. Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established it as a time of public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. And then, of course, it soon caught on, and it was picked up by all other countries. And we do have carnations this morning that we're going to ask young people, kids, if you have your mom here, you can come up and get one and hand it out. We're going to do that at the end of the service. So why did God make mothers? Well, Here's how some second graders answered the following questions. The first question was, why did God make mothers? And they calculated all the top answers from all the second graders' answers. Why did God make mothers? Mostly to clean the house and to help us get out of there when we were getting born. Number two question, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? The top answers, we're related and God knew she'd like me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Why did your mom marry your dad? Top answers, she got too old to do anything else with him, and my grandma said that my mom didn't have her thinking cap on. Number four, who's the boss at your house? Top answer, I guess mom is, because she has a lot more to do than dad. Question, what does your mom do in her spare time? Top answer, mothers don't do spare time. And number six, what would it take to make your mom perfect? Top answers, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think she might need some kind of plastic surgery. Well, there you have it, right from some brilliant second graders. I know you guys like to laugh, so can I tell one more horrible joke? Okay, terrible joke. I heard of about a wealthy son who had decided to do something special for his mother on Mother's Day. He went to a pet shop and saw a very expensive talking bird. This was an unusual bird. This bird could whistle Amazing Grace, and this bird could quote the 23rd Psalm. It was an unusual bird. The cost of the bird was $30,000. But what did he care? He was very wealthy, so he spent the $30,000 and bought the bird for his mother and had it shipped to her. On Mother's Day, he had made his call to his mother. Mother, how did you like the bird that I sent you? She said, oh, son, it was delicious. Money well spent, right? For our moms. Well, we live in a country that celebrates the Nobel Peace Prize, the gold medal winners, the Oscars, homecoming queen, and Queen of England herself. But today we are celebrating the one who is late to bed, early to rise, has been the wet wipe touting, lunch packing, sometimes working 40 hours a week at a job and 100 hours a week at home, the superhero herself, the one who makes all those, kisses all those boo-boos and makes them all better, right? We're celebrating mom. Well, moms, you're on your feet more than enough, so we're going to have everyone else stand this morning. That's right, everyone else stand. Moms, you can stay seated. And we're going to celebrate our moms today. That's right. And everyone can stand. Let's have everyone stand for the reading of our word this morning. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 6, verse 5 to 14. And it says this, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wage to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world." You may be seated. Now you might say, "Pastor JP, what in the world does that scripture have to do with Mother's Day?" Well, we're going to find out. Yes, this morning I am talking to all the moms. This message is for anyone who has given birth to children, but also it's, you know, for anyone else that has given birth to dreams. This is also for you as well. So for maternal moms, to spiritual moms, and to the dreamers in the room, I know that you're not just bringing up sons and daughters and dreams, but instead you are bringing up breakthrough. Bringing up breakthrough. That is the title of my message this morning. I do have 5 points that are fairly short, so we're going to look at those 5 points. Before we go on any further, let's bow before the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful that we can celebrate Mother's Day, that we can take time out of our busy schedules to turn to and just to guide our thoughts towards our upbringing towards moms. Lord, thank you for moms. Lord, thank you for your word that leads and guides us as well this morning. May your word teach us. May it encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, from the reading of this scripture, there are 2 questions that come to mind when I hear about the feeding of the 5,000. Now, the first question is this: who instilled the character into the little boy who gave his lunch? Was he passing by? How did they find him? Somewhere along the line, I'm thinking that he must have heard the conversation, or he said, "Hey, I've got my meal, I'm ready to share it." The other question that comes to mind is, who packed this boy's lunch? This nameless, mentionless person that isn't mentioned in the Bible. And although not mentioned in the text, it's pretty safe to assume that this boy had a mother, right? And I would even assume that this mother packed his lunch that day. Now, how many of you have had a mother pack a lunch for you sometime in your life? Yeah. Oh, hands up everywhere. That's right. That's right. Well, Danielle packs the lunch, kids' lunches for them, and let's just say it is hard work, right? Would you say it's hard work? Day after day? Absolutely. It's not necessarily the funnest part of her day, but it's definitely worth it. Well, John chapter 6, verses 5 to 6 in the NIV says this: "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for the people to eat?'" And verse 6, the next verse, is the most important part of this. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Isn't that interesting? He already had in mind what he was going to do. And this brings us to our first point, which I believe every mother needs to hear. And that is, you are on his mind. You are on the mind of Jesus. Yes, you are. You are on God's mind. Aren't we glad that we serve a God that has something already in mind? That's right. For every problem, he has something in mind. And Jesus sees things that we don't always see. He knows the big picture of our lives. And God sees us from conception to completion. Now, perhaps, again, Jesus knew that there was a mother that taught and loved and disciplined this boy for such a time as this? And all, again, all the details are missing. But this boy gave up his lunch for Jesus. So mothers, Jesus has you in mind. He sees the challenges that you have to overcome, and he has you in his mind. Now think of Hannah. Hannah in the Old Testament, in the Bible, she couldn't have children. She wanted to know, God, did you notice me? Am I on your mind? And I want to look at this scripture because it's incredible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, in the NIV, it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant. In other words, she was asking, am I on your mind? Have you forgotten about me? But give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And verse 19 says, and the Lord remembered her, and she gave birth to Samuel. Isn't that awesome? The Lord remembered her. Next, let's look at Hagar. She was rejected in the only home that she knew, which was Abraham and Sarah, and then she fled into the desert. She felt alone and unseen, and an angel of the Lord appeared to her. And in Genesis chapter 16, 13 to 14, it says this in the NIV. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, which is called the well of the living one who sees me. That's what it's called, that name of the place, well of the living one who sees me. She prayed, she knew that she was seen by God. This is awesome. So this morning, I want to encourage you, whether you feel like God sees you in your everyday life, in whatever situation, that you are on his mind. He knows every part of us, right? He knows the amount of hairs that we have on our head. If he knows us that much, he knows the deepest, most intimate thoughts that we have in our life. And he walks with us. He talks to us. He guides us. He fills us with strength, with power for everyday living. Amen. 1 John chapter 6, verse 7 in the NIV says this, Philip answered him, it would take more than a half year's wage to buy enough bread for each one just to have a bite, not even to eat. Just to have a bite. And this brings us to point number two. Every breakthrough requires an impossible. Every breakthrough requires an impossible. What's your impossible? Is it to become a mother? Maybe to have your children live for God again? The Bible is a book filled with impossible situations, right? And God brought breakthrough in all those situations that we read about. And God is alive and well and wants to bring breakthrough in our lives as well. God, all throughout the Bible, he is the gap filler. He is the bridge builder. He's the emptiness filler. He's the chain breaker. And he is the sickness healer. That's right. God is in the business of doing the impossible. It's not about us. It's about him doing the work. So if you're in an impossible situation right now, know that you are a prime candidate for the Lord to work in your life. Let's continue in John chapter 6, verses 8 to 11. It says this, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will that go among so many? Or in other words, it's not near enough food. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down, about 5,000 men, which means there were women and children more than that. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And this is what Jesus was telling them in point number 3. It will feed more than you think it will. It will feed more than you think it will. Can you just imagine this boy's mother preparing his lunch for that day? The work that it would have taken to prepare the bread and the fish. What she thought she was preparing was enough just to feed one person, right? One boy. But little did she know that she was going to feed thousands that day. She wasn't just packing a meal, she was packing a miracle. And I want you to notice this. This mom did not do the flashy thing. She did the faithful thing. She did the faithful thing. It was the faithful mom that set up the fascinating miracle in this story. So moms, little did you know with your child that you aren't just changing a diaper, but you're changing their destiny. You aren't just straightening up a house, you're straightening up a young man or a woman. When you played Play-Doh with them, you weren't just shaping clay, but you were shaping their lives as well. When you cook a meal, you're cooking up a future. Moms that work 40 hours outside the home and many more hours inside the home, you're not just working, you're showing your kids how to work. Andy Stanley says this, the greatest accomplishment you can do is not something you do, it's someone you raise. Isn't that awesome? It's the ordinary that is preparing the way for the extraordinary. Now, here's what I think. I think that the greatest threat to the devil and his schemes is a mother focused on raising godly children. Amen. And I know that firsthand. This made me think of what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. In the NIV, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Now, most of the time when we read this scripture, people end there, right? Love the Lord your God. That's what God calls us to do. But I love how it keeps on going. In verse 7, it says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So when you sit down, when you get up, when you walk along the road, and when you sit at home. That's pretty much all, it covers all the bases, right? We need to talk about the Lord, about loving the Lord with all our heart. We need to impress this on our children. Now here are some practical, I wanted to share some practical steps that are a mother's greatest gifts. This can be for families, but these can be for grandparents as well. And this is from Dr. Charles Stanley. He says this, conflict affected the first Christians, but here are some things to live by. The first one was principles. If you want your children to survive the secular society in which we live, teach them biblical principles. Most important is obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Teach children the truth, and they will recognize lies. Isn't that good? Number 2 is pattern. Children must see you consistently live out your faith, or they will think you are a hypocrite. Children often follow their parents' footsteps, And I give some, he gives some examples, even Cain, Rebekah, and Jacob, and Jochebed, and Moses. And the next one is persistence. Even if kids don't get it the first time, keep teaching, disciplining, and exemplifying trust and obedience. When your family faces hard times, you use adversity as an opportunity to demonstrate faith by praying together. It's through difficulties that kids learn how to live out Christianity. I love that. The Christian walk isn't just a cakewalk, right? It's not just a red carpet that we walk down. And our kids need to know this. And when they see us and how parents, how we handle things, it gives us opportunity for our faith to rub off. So, you know, I think it comes up in a further thing, but I was going to say, pray with your kids. When you pull out of the driveway with your vehicle, just take 30 seconds and pray. It will rub off on them. Number five is praise. Encouragement is more effective than condemnation. Encouragement is more effective than condemnation. And I give as an example, a mother should never shame their child for bad grades if they have done their best. Always encourage them. Give them praise. You don't have to think that they're going to get big-headed and prideful because you're encouraging them. If anything, it's the opposite. They need like 10 encouragements for one negative condemning thing. You know what I'm talking about? Praise will stick with them. The next one, number six, is prayer. Children need to hear you pray for them. Call their names before God and make specific requests for them. Nothing you do for your children is more powerful than prayer. Also, be sure to pray with them. If you had a mom or a parent that prayed for you, do you remember that? Did it stick with you? Absolutely. There are so many times I have looked back and said, Lord, thank you for parents that pray for me. I'm thankful for friends and family that pray for me. If I may use an example, I don't want to embarrass and I haven't asked for permission, but Ron, Peg, I know that you have pictures up on your dresser. I've seen them in your house, and you are able to pray for your kids and your grandkids every day. That's awesome. I love that. It's a simple reminder as he walks by those pictures to pray for them. And I may say that I was moved because our family was on his dresser as well, and he mentioned praying for us every day as well. The next one is planning. Planning. If you want to pass your faith on to the next generation, you must set aside time to read the Bible as a family and talk about spiritual truths. This is good. And I got to say, this is one of the hardest ones for us, you know, I find for myself to do, because things can be so busy a lot of the time. But we do try to do devotions together whenever we can. And I'm thankful for my wife who teaches spiritual principles every chance she gets. She talks about the Lord. What about this? When they're going to bed, we talk about them. We pray. We talk about the Lord. We allow questions. We try to answer questions. She does a fabulous job of that. And lastly, parents, if your response... It's your responsibility to raise godly children. Thankfully, you are not alone. The Father sends the Holy Spirit to enable, strengthen and encourage believers. Isn't that good? We can't do it in our own strength. We need to rely on the Lord and ask for his help. Aren't you thankful for a God that sees what's going on in their lives further than what we can see? Now, I say that because I don't see anything. My wife claims to see and know everything about what's going on with my kids. But aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit that truly shows us how to guide us and lead us in prayer? What conversations to have with our children? Let's be confident in those conversations. We're here to help each other. We're here to help them. Again, it's going to impact more people than you think. It's going to do more good in this world than you think it will. Just like this woman that packed a lunch to feed 5,000. A friend of mine, Dr. John Chasteen, says this: it's the strain and pain of the mundane that makes way for the miraculous. It's the strain and pain of the mundane that makes a way for the miraculous. The seeds that you sow, no matter how small they may seem, will reap a harvest. The Bible says so. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, and I wanted to read this out of the message. It says this: so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued for doing good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest. We will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Well, there's no one closer in the community of faith than your family, right? So it starts right here, and I hope this encourages you this morning. Let's read on in John chapter 6, verse 12. And 13, it says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Which brings us to point number 4, nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. Jesus said to them, not one piece is to be wasted. And maybe you're here, you're burnt out, you're exhausted, you're ready to quit. I'm here to encourage you that nothing is wasted. Every sleepless night, every broken heart, every exhausting day. The Bible says this in Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, wailing becomes dancing. Tears become joy. Ashes become beauty. Despair becomes praise. The crooked roads become straight. Darkness becomes light. Jesus said, gather the pieces that are left over. Why? Because he can do something with them. Maybe you feel like your life is in pieces. Your kids don't do what you hope they would have done. You didn't do maybe what you hoped you would. Or maybe you still haven't had kids yet. There's sacrifice in there. 1 Corinthians 15:58, again in the message, says, with all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Isn't that good? Nothing you do for him is a waste of time and effort. God sees every single little thing that you do. And when your heart is set on God, nothing is wasted. And what is the key to this passage? The key to this passage is do it for him. Do it for the Lord. Do it for Jesus. If you're a mother, do it for him. If you can't have kids yet, do whatever you do for him. He sees you. He knows you. And I think the purpose of this entire story is summed up in verse 14. It says this, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is a prophet who has come into the world. And this brings us to point number 5. Your persistence points to Jesus. Your persistence points to Jesus. This miracle that took place from start to finish pointed to Jesus. All the way back to the preparation of the loaves and the fish. It all points to Jesus. Now, the mother was nameless, but she played a part in what Jesus was planning to do. And you might say, well, she was nameless. How is that even fair? Well, God is most glorified when you are least recognized. God is most glorified when we are least recognized. If you need to be magnified, God cannot be glorified. Our lives are meant to glorify the Father, right? Everything we do needs to point to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is reality for living in this life. This life will come and go, but when it's all said and done, Jesus will be all that matters. And we need to pass that on. We need to take every opportunity we can and live for him. Now, most of you don't know my mother, but it's okay. I know she's been here a couple times. She's with my sister today. But she's okay with my life pointing to Jesus. She's okay with that. She's glad to sacrifice. And I am so thankful for both of my parents and all that they sacrifice for me. So thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for Mother's Day, right? Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you and celebrate moms today. Lord, every one of us has been born by a mother. And today we pray for every mom in every home. We pray for moms who are busy doing things for their families, for everyone in their home. Lord, may they experience sanity in the middle of the crazy. We pray for moms working outside the home. Lord, I pray for that they would have strength and increased energy. Lord, and that they wouldn't live with guilt for working outside the home. Lord, we pray for moms who have children with special needs. Lord, may their energy be replenished, knowing that you reward those moms as well. Lord, we pray for every single mom. May your hope and strength be found in you. Lord, we pray for expectant moms. May you protect the amazing life that grows inside. Lord, we pray for moms who are struggling to get pregnant. May they experience the love that you give in the middle of their intense and uncertain battle. And Lord, we do pray for miracles for children. And Lord, we thank you that you answer prayer. Lord, we pray for those whose moms have passed away. May this be a day of honor and freedom and found memories that they may celebrate today. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful sacrificial women that give so much day after day. Lord, thank you for making yourself known through them. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to sing one last song, and if we'll have the worship team come at this time, you can stand with us. It's a song we ended last week with called Firm Foundation. And I do think it's a perfect song for Mother's Day, perfect declaration for Mother's Day. And it just says this: Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. And get this, he's faithful through generations. From generation to generation to generation, he is faithful. So why would he fail now? He won't. Let's stand and sing together. Whoa.